RunDNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The RunDNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into RunDNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to RunDNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Hey guys, how are you going this week?
I'm going really well, Soap. Nice to see you, Wallace. And just looking forward to the apology that I'll be receiving from both of you guys. I imagine that is imminent. And I imagine that you want to get that out of the way at the start of the episode. So by all means, the apology, please. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
It should have been a red card, not a yellow. We were too easy on you. Is that the...
You guys gave me a yellow card for putting the Woodville Basketball Club at 11 in Hookie's power rankings. I rescued our entire show because on Saturday night, they went on and won the premiership. They defeated Sturt by 8. Imagine the shame on our brand if we'd left them out. What a rescue mission I performed. And I can see it in both of your eyes as I look down the screen here. You are both saying, thank you, Ben, for everything you have done. Apology accepted, both of you.
Well done,
yeah,
Ben.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, Ben.
Looking into the future, Ben Hook.
Let's talk about some more serious stuff. Not that Woodville's premiership isn't more serious, because that was quite incredible, of course, led by your superstar of last week, Sophie, Jasmine Fijo, and the great Erin Phillips, who I imagine we might just reference again a little bit later in the episode. But the Isaac Rankin saga is about to head into its third day. Mm. It is, well, it's nothing but a bit of a sorry affair, is it? I mean, there's nothing that's going, that nothing good is going to come of it. The Adelaide Football Club is going to lose their star small forward for an extended period of time. Sophie, you've had a couple of days to digest it. Just tell me your thoughts.
I mean, it's a huge issue in the AFL at the moment, isn't it? I don't think we can let a homophobic slur, or an alleged homophobic slur, I should be saying, just go unheard and unnoticed. And I really do think it needs, I've got to be honest, Ben, I think it needs a harsh penalty. I mean, there's no open gay footballers out there, and I think that's a real issue. And I think we need to appreciate it. We need to get that respect out there, and he needs the harshest penalty. I'm sorry.
I think you're kind of right. I think you've actually stumbled across what I'm thinking about it as well. I mean, I'm actually not entirely surprised that this is happening at all, Soph. This is the fourth homophobic slur that's been dished out the last 12 months. There's going to be, we would presume, a fairly significant penalty alongside what we've seen in the past. But I compare it against racism, I suppose. And racism's been a huge hurdle for the AFL to deal with in the past. And 10% of the league, of the AFL, are Indigenous footballers. Now, you've just said it yourself. There's zero openly gay footballers. So this is completely off the radar. For to have a teammate who's homosexual just doesn't happen in AFL football. To have a teammate who's Indigenous happens routinely in AFL football. And it's taken two decades to bring racism under control at AFL football. So I think this is going to be an issue. I think it's going to be an issue for a long time. Education's going to be, it will have to continue. The penalties are going to keep coming. I do think that there's a legitimate argument about, is missing games of football the right penalty for this sort of indiscretion? That's something that I imagine the AFL is going to have to look at going forward. So, for example, Soph, there are AFL footballers on 1, 2, 3 strikes right now in playing in the AFL, and their identities are protected and they're still going on and playing. It's just something that is kept between the club doctor and the player themselves. And I just wonder to the extent to which the use of illicit drugs can be kept completely secret, and a homophobic slur in the heat of the moment like this, I'm not trying to defend Isaac Rankin one iota, but whether that penalty of 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it's going to be marries up. I think it's going to be an interesting topic of discussion. But yes, the education programs that you would imagine these AFL footballers are going through is just they're going to have to double down on it and continue to try and educate, because this is an issue that just isn't on any AFL footballer's radar. None of them deal with homosexual people on a routine basis, because there just isn't any in men's football. It's not uncommon in women's football, but that's something that they're going to have to deal with going forward. Education of the fact that this is hurtful behavior for people that you don't generally deal with.
100%, Ben. And I think it's a good point. It's no openly gay people that we are aware of, but I mean, if this kind of language is being used around in the locker rooms, why would you ever come out? Why would you ever feel comfortable to do that? And I think that's a real issue. I've got a lot of friends that are gay, and I agree with your point about the use of illicit drugs is a really good point, and the penalty is going to be interesting, that's to say the least. But I do think it needs to be a harsh penalty, but it's a good point about whether or not that should be playing rights or whether or not that should just be a fine, because this is going to have a huge impact on the club.
I mean, if it's going to be a fine, it would have to be a significant fine, wouldn't it? It would have to be 3-4 months worth of wages, which for an 100%. AFL footballer on $600,000-$800,000 a year might be about the mark. Maybe I'm probably overstepping it a little bit. But anyway, look, I think we're across it. I think it's going to be fascinating to see where the penalty ends up. But yes, the AFL took ages to overcome racism when you've got Indigenous footballers all throughout your competition. I just don't know how they're going to be able to try and manage this. It's going to be a problem going forward. Bit of news floating around. I want to share with you a story. I know you've got a cracking story from racing as well. Richard Hill has stepped down as the coach of the Mount Gambier Pioneers. He's had an incredible run over about 15 years as coach of the team. 5 straight Southeastern ABL premierships, won 3 national titles. So this is the level below the NBL. It's sort of morphed into NBL 1 now, and there's a fascinating history to it all. He actually was a premiership coach in the Central ABL going back in 2004 when he coached the Eastern Mavericks to a flag back then. But the Mount Gambier Pioneers are a wonderful story in their own right. They're the club that 5 years ago no one wanted. So there was the SEABL competition that was disbanded, and they formed the Victorian NBL 1 competition. And the Vic said, "Now you're Mount Gambier, you're South Australian, you can't play." And so they said, "Oh, all right, well, can we go and play in the South Australian League?" And the South Australian club said, "No, you can't play in our league either." So here they were, this very, very successful organisation out of the SEABL, who had no place to play whatsoever. Eventually, they cut a deal to go and play in the Adelaide League for 1 year. They lost the grand final that year, but it was remarkable how many players they had to cull for the competition to accept them. They then tried to go and play in New Zealand, and they were told by Basketball Australia they couldn't play there either. And eventually, after all of that, they were settled back into the Victorian NBL 1 competition. So it's been this incredible melodrama of this club. But all throughout, Richard Hill has been this steadfast leader of this organisation that for a tiny little, it's not a hamlet, it's a big town, I suppose, but mixing it amongst all of the Victorian clubs and being remarkably successful is an outstanding achievement. He'll actually coach a combined team against the Adelaide 36ers as his final game in Mount Gambier in a week or two's time. So I just wanted to commend Richard Hill on everything he's done for South Australian basketball, in particular via the Mount Gambier Pioneers.
No, I love that, Ben. Richard Hill, definitely someone to be celebrated, and a good change of pace from the start of our podcast. I've actually got to come back with you and celebrate Maggie Collett. It's her first start as a trainer. She takes her debut as a dual license holder. She recently trained and she rode just like Lisa in a 1,250-meter race. They got third at the turn, Ben, and lost a plate and faded to finish last. But what an outstanding showing. Her partner is Justin Pickering, a trainer in his own right, and they're likely to go into a partnership when her riding career concludes. She's one of 3 women in Australia right now with the dual license, and it's just something that I think we should really be celebrating on this podcast.
She is a wonderful story, Maggie Collett. Out of Victoria, came to South Australia to be part of the incredible Apprentice Academy we have here. She actually was part of Sport SA's Moment of the Year last year. There was her and five others, Kayla Crowther, Rochelle Milnes, Alana Livesey, Caitlin Jones, and Felicity Atkinson. The six of them combined to ride the entire card at Morphettville at a race meeting on a Saturday in August last year. I think it might have been August 9 from memory. It was the first time in Australia that women had ridden the entire card at a Saturday meeting. So Maggie Collett has all that to take with her wherever she goes in her racing career, but now as a trainer as well. It's an incredible story. Yeah, just like Lisa, I watched the race, actually. It looked really good. Got a beautiful run up the inside, but then cast a plate, as you perfectly described. And, yeah, faded to finish last. But she's won that horse, just like Lisa, has won seven times. She's ridden four of those seven winners. So, yeah, she's going to be an incredible story for a long term in South Australian racing. Good on her. And little Justin Pickering, I say little. I know him. He was a cricketer at Glenelg as a youngster in the juniors when I was playing back in the day. So I wish them both all the very best. Incredible story, the pair of them. Just a couple of other little things that are going on. One sport that we haven't talked about much is South Australian volleyball. The State League Grand Finals were on the weekend. USC Lion won the Women's State League title. They've gone back-to-back, so congratulations to them. Austral Phoenix won the men's title. They also went back to back. So that's a quick roundup of what's happening in local South Australian volleyball. Just want to point out that Todd Charlton, an umpire in the Riverland League, has umpired his 650th game as an umpire up there in that competition as well. Could you imagine doing 650 games as an umpire, Soph? I mean, I couldn't imagine playing over my whole life 650 games of sport, but imagine copping all of that abuse 650 times in a row. Well done, Todd Charlton. What a story.
Yeah, great story. Can't imagine coughing 650 games of abuse. And it's just weeks on end, I would imagine.
Just one more before we wrap up. Can I just share the story of the North Eagles that I told you that I was going to talk about last week? I'm going to keep this short and sharp here. North Adelaide and Eagles are two independent lacrosse clubs who have merged at state league level only, which is really unusual. It actually happens a little bit in lacrosse down in the lower grades. So you might have a team that can't fill the numbers and another club that can't fill the numbers in the same grade. So they combine and they form a team and they go on to play Division Two or something along those lines. Well, this happened in the women, that they decided to amalgamate just their state league teams at the top level. The women played in 2022, and then the men, on the back end of the women deciding to merge, said, hey, you know what, that's not a bad idea. We'll merge as well. Now, North Adelaide were already in the state league at the time, whereas for the men, neither Eagles or North Adelaide were. So the men, 2022, they finished third. They did incredibly well. 2023, they won it. They won the state league. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The absolute champions of the competition were Brighton. They blew them away in a grand final. 3 months later, they disbanded. They'd segregated and gone their own ways. In the meantime, the women have continued on. They're in their fourth year together now. They're at the end of their fourth year. They have never won a game in 4 years, and they are sticking it out. And I think it would be wrong for us as a podcast celebrating South Australian sport not to celebrate the resilience of the North Eagles women in the state league competition, who continue to front up. They continue to get blown away every week, but they keep turning up, playing, and giving it their absolute best. So I, for one, am going to celebrate the North Eagles Lacrosse Club, and you and I, Soph, and you as well, Wallace. The day that they win, we are going to have one almighty celebration. They will win a game one day, and I look forward to it. But I just want to give some love to the North Eagles State League women. 4 years, no wins. It's coming soon, girls. Stick with it.
No, I love that, Ben. Sport is all about participation and determination, and I think that's a beautiful story.
We're going to get into Sophie Starr and Ben's best very shortly, but first of all, we do need to just pass on our condolences to you, Soph, and the entire Hilditch family on the passing of your grandfather, Bob Simpson. We've talked about him a couple of times in this podcast. He passed away very peacefully on Friday. I know you'd caught up with him in the last few days, Soph. He has been an incredible contributor to Australian cricket. What he has done has been surpassed by pretty much no one in the game in its history as a player and as a coach. It's a remarkable legacy he leaves. So I'm sure you are so proud of what he has done. I'm sure you're very, very sad about his passing. Just on behalf of Wallace and myself, I just want to offer our condolences and just say vale Bob Simpson, and what an incredible contributor he's been to Australian sport, mate.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, the love and the support my family's received over the past weekend has been beautiful, and we've really appreciated it. The stories that have come out about Papa have been unremarkable, and yeah, he'll be sorely missed, but we are extremely proud of what he achieved in his life, just not as a cricketer, but also as a grandfather. So thank you, Ben.
That stumps on another episode of Hooked on Sport. We appreciate you listening and trust you enjoyed the show. Help us reach more sports-minded people just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.